Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Dr. Annie B. Wilder coming on the Dr. Annie B. Wilder Show. I'm coming to say good morning, good morning, good morning. How is everybody in radio land? Oh, yes, yes, yes. I'm greeting you and I'm speaking to you, all of you, everybody, everywhere, far and near. I love saying good morning. Yes, another day the Lord has made, another day the Lord has allowed us to come to greet each other and be together around this broadcast. Yes, and I so appreciate you for that. All right, so, hey, as it is our custom, hey, we're not going to delay things. We're going to get right into our broadcast, and I'm going to give you my topic. Yes, you're waiting for that, right? All right. My topic today is problems, staying focused, okay? Let me make it clear. We often have problems staying focused. So today I'm going to deal with some of those. I'm going to highlight some of those. Okay, so once again, my topic is problems staying focused. And I'm going to be coming from 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verses 8 through 11. Yes. So once again, I'd like to say thank you to each of you that have been in touch with me this past week. I have asked time and time again that you would let me know suggestions, you know, what things you'd like to hear, some things that you'd like me to address. And I got a suggestion last week. And believe me, I take it seriously. So this one I'll have to work on a little bit, but I'm not ignoring your suggestion. So I will be talking to you in the coming weeks, soon, not very long, as to incorporating that suggestion, how I'm going to address that suggestion. I thank you, those of you that know that particular person that's aware that you know, that remember talking to me and giving me a suggestion. I am not taking it lightly. I will be attempting to incorporate your suggestion. All right? So, hey, once again, somebody saying, well, I want to make suggestions. Well, I tell you week after week how you can do that. You can text me and you can email me. Email me at drannybwilder@gmail.com. That's D-R-A-N-N-I-E, the letter B, WILDER@gmail.com. All right? I know we don't want to delay the broadcast, so let's get right into it. And so what's the first thing we do? You write prayer. Thank you. You remember, you got it down. You got the routine down. Yes, prayer. So let's do that. Father God, in the name of Jesus, so much, Father, that's going on in the land that we know you're aware of, but you told us to ask anyway. You told us to come and make our petitions before you. You told us, Lord. So we're coming today, first of all, to say thank you. First of all, to just let you know we appreciate you for everything you have done and all that you are doing. And, God, that our faith is working, that you're still working on our behalf. So we thank you. And then, Father God, we come lifting up our nation. Oh, God, for the word of God says, first pray. Make intercession, okay, to intercede, to make supplications, all those things. In other words, pray for men everywhere. That's what it says to do. And so, God, we first come praying for our nation, praying for those in positions of authority here on earth, for the president and our governors and, oh, God, all of those are mayors and all of those in positions, God, that have been put there by people, put there by their constituents. And Lord God, oh God, with heavy loads on their shoulders. So God, we're praying for them today that indeed you surround them with people, oh God, that would hear you and God, that would feed them godly advice. Oh God, godly advice in the name of Jesus. And so, Father God, we thank you right now for each and every one of them, and thank you for guiding them and guiding their steps, Lord, and strengthening their bodies, encouraging their hearts, Lord God. So as we move on, Lord God, then we pray for our homes and we pray for our nation itself. And we pray, God, even for your leaders that are standing behind the pulpits today, oh God, week after week, that oh God, receiving a word from you to deliver to your people. And, oh God, that they themselves have homes that have to be attended to, that you, Lord God, would minister to them in their homes and make ways for them, Lord. Open doors, God, for your people everywhere. Oh God, we thank you today that even in this hour, you're touching in our nation. Wisdom, 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 God. We call for wisdom. Wisdom, Lord God, in our going in and our coming out. Wisdom, Lord God, in how we're handling our finances. Wisdom in how we're relating to one another. We need your wisdom. And your words say if we don't have it, that we can just ask you for it and you'll give it to us. And so, God, we're asking you for wisdom today. Oh, God, wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. Oh, God, I'm calling for wisdom, godly wisdom. Oh, in all of our affairs of life. Oh, and thank you now, God, for all those that you've given strength to work in the hospitals and, oh, God, the emergency crews and the fire crews and all of those that are still working on behalf of the people everywhere, in the cities, in the state, in throughout the nation. And, Lord God, those that are in need this morning, obeying. You said you supply our every need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So, God, that one that's in need of food and shelter and, oh, God, a job, whatever it may be, that they see your handiwork in it now, performing it right now, that is coming to pass right now in Jesus' name. And then, Father, I ask that you, through your Holy Spirit, anoint me, oh, your servant this morning, to bring forth this word, to proclaim this word that you put in my spirit today, that the listeners will hear, the listeners will be encouraged, the listeners can relate, the listeners, Lord God, will get some direction in their lives. In Jesus' name, these things I pray that you will be glorified in the fulfillment of it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. All right, again, problems staying focused. Problems staying focused. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 through 11. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, there are a number of scriptures that I could read this morning that would just bring us right into this discussion. But this is the one I've chosen. I think you'll understand why as I move along. And so, first of all, just to tell you a reason for my scripture, for this whole topic this morning. Because as you know, I'm usually coming to you from something that's true, something that's going on in life, something that truly we can relate to, not just grabbing a scripture to read or anything, but really to talk about things that we are experiencing in life. And I think one of the things that's hardest for us is to stay focused, which means keeping our eyes on a prize, to keep looking toward something that has been laid out, a goal or a direction, you know, staying focused, keeping our minds, you know, on one track. Oh, my God, that's a good one, huh? Keeping our minds on track. Keeping our minds on track. If our minds are on track, that means our actions, our bodies, and all, okay, and our action and reaction will be pulled into that direction as well and not stray here and there all over the place. Yes, okay? So there are times in life that, you know, we have to stay focused. There are times that, hey, we can have fun. We can be free to just, you know, let our minds wander here and there. But there are times that we have to stay on track. We have to stay focused, okay? Stay directed. There are those times. And even as our scripture is saying today, it's giving us one of those times, all right, that it's saying be sober. Hey, that's the same thing. Being alert, being vigilant, staying focused, okay? Not getting sober. And we know most time we think of sober as being drunk, right? Well, believe me, we can be drunk without having taken on alcohol, without taking on any of those imbibed in any of those things that would impair our physical being and our minds, okay, from a bottle, from wine or alcohol or anything like that, okay? Although that's the only way we think of it, but hey, we can become drunk in action and drunk in our thoughts on desires. Hey, yes, we can. Okay, yes, we can, okay? And being vigilant, that means being alert, vigilant. Okay, stand alert, okay? And it tells us why. It says, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. In other words, we know the Bible has let us know we have an adversary, meaning an enemy. We have one that's against us, and especially if we are proclaiming the name of Jesus, if we become born again, and we are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is that our endeavor to stay on focus and to please him in our going in and our coming out, our thoughts, our actions, our reactions. Hey, we have an enemy, hey, that's firmly on our trail, an enemy that do not want our lives, okay, to show any difference than it had been. Okay? He wants to rob the testimony that would come unto Jesus, because the Bible says, hey, he's an enemy. He's an enemy. Not just of us, but an enemy to the Lord. Yes. Oh, anytime we accepted Jesus Christ in our lives, we've come off of his territory. And, hey, the devil's territory. And the devil wants us back. Yes, because that'll cast a black eye on the word of God and on Jesus and his promises and his ability. Oh, my God, to create a better life for us, to provide a better way of living for us. Yes. So the enemy's not happy. All right? And he doesn't give up easy. No, he does not give up easy. You say, oh, yes, he does. I tell you, he doesn't. And I'm sure if any of you have made up your mind to serve God, you're finding out. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm having so much trouble. The difference is that God is with us. Mama says we wouldn't have trouble. He invites us to come and receive Jesus Christ in our lives as Lord and Savior, okay, so that we would have help, that we would have eternal life, first of all, meaning that, hey, if our lives are snuffed away from us, even quickly, even unexpectedly, that we have another home in glory, another place, and that's with the Lord. Yes. Oh, my God. So that's the first promise he makes us. And then secondly, that he wants us to have life and that more abundantly. So we have the life, eternal life, when we accept Jesus Christ in our lives, which is a promise that there's life after this place, life after this land, life after all these surroundings that we're currently walking in, all right, abiding in, dwelling in, a life away from here, a better life, all right? But then he says while we're here, he wants us to have this life more abundantly. In other words, to enjoy the blessings, God's creation, and the things that God will provide for us. God has given unto us, and God wants to give to us the more, all right? He wants us to have joy in it, to enjoy those things, all right? So you say, Dr. Wilder, I believe I heard that before. So where are you coming from? Well, I'm coming from John 10:10, Because that's what I'm quoting. That's what I'm talking about. Because look at the contrast right there. Look at the contrast. Make a note. But you, when you go there and look, you're going to find there's a contrast. What's the contrast? That Jesus himself is speaking. And Jesus said the devil, okay, that he comes to rob, steal, and destroy. Rob our dreams, rob our goals, rob our joy, okay? To rob anything, okay, that would keep our mind stayed on the Lord, that would keep us praising and magnifying God. He comes to rob us, all right? But Jesus said, but I have come. You know the Easter story? You know? Yes. He said, I have come that you would have life and that more abundantly. That's where I'm coming from. All right, you made a note. You got it? John 10:10. St. John 10:10. So I'm quoting scripture to you. Yes, because what other way can I really get across to you that's going to make a difference? That is tell you what the word of God says. So, yes, so we truly have an enemy. All right? And he's all about robbing us and stealing from us and even bringing us into death if he can, all right? And so, look, he is no respecter, but the Bible just about said it, right? He said he walks about like a roaring lion, okay, making a lot of noise, prowling, looking here, looking there, oh, my God, hiding out so that he can pounce on us. Yes, yes, yes. But then it says, seeking whom he may devour. That's the part when I'm saying he's no respecter of persons. It says, whomever he may devour. Means overtake, okay? Subdue, yes. He says, whom he may. To me, whom. It didn't say the older people. It didn't say the younger people. It says, whom he may. Anybody that would not be focused, anybody that would allow him to overtake them, anybody that would lose perspective, yes, he doesn't care. He does not care. Why? Because what? All souls belong to the Lord. All souls. And that's what he's after. He's after any and every living being. Okay? So, why? Because now, you've been taken away. If you're already a believer, he's stealing your joy. If you're not a believer, if he can overtake you and destroy you, then, hey, even bring you to the point of death, then you won't have a chance, okay? So, again, you've still been robbed of the very best that Jesus wants to give you and that Jesus died to give us. Yes, all right? But the Bible tells us to resist him. So here it is again. There's an antidote. Here it is again that we don't have to be overtaken by him. Here it is again that the Bible is saying, hey, we don't have to lay down and just let him come and take over our lives. No, all right? Because it says right there, resist him. Now look, here's an example of what I'm saying, that he does not give up easily because the Bible says steadfast. Resist him, but you got to be steadfast in the faith. In other words, we can't be these little timid individuals. Oh, Satan, I don't want you here. Oh, Satan, I know it's you. Oh, Satan, I command you to get your hands off of my finances. Get your hand off of my family. Oh, no. He said steadfast in the faith. So in other words, first comes faith. We got to believe that there is help. We got to believe in Jesus. We got to believe in the word of God. So how do we get there? We got to study it. We got to get it hidden in our heart. We got to get the promises of God. We got to come to know who we are in the Lord. We got to come to know what God has given us, the promises and the authority that he's given us, just like when we pray. Yes, you know how when we pray, we said, our Father which art in heaven, in the name of Jesus. We always say in the name of Jesus when we come to the Lord, when we come to God in prayer. Why? Because the name of Jesus opens the door for us. He gave us the authority to go to the Father on our own, that we don't have to wait for him, that we can go to the Father directly, that name, the name of Jesus opens that door. Yes, that name of Jesus gives us the authority to go directly to the Father. The name of Jesus, yeah, give us that legal authority. So in the Bible, it says, hey, you know, they try to come to the Father, except through Jesus, they're robbers. Hey, yes, yes, yes. Hey, we're not robbers. Yeah, we don't want to be guilty of that, and we are not, because we've been given the authority, the name of Jesus, that we can go directly to the Father. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come. In the name of Jesus, I make this request. In the name of Jesus, I just want to commune with you. That door is open because we've been given that authority to use that name. What do you mean authority, Dr. Wilder? The right. We've been given that right to use the name of Jesus to go directly to God on our own with our requests, our petitions, our desires, our longing, and really, you know, sometimes just to spend time with him. Yes, just to spend time with him. With prayer isn't always about just going and begging and pleading. The Lord wants us to just come and spend some time in his presence and let him talk. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a new concept for some people. Some people think that, no, I'm supposed to just be there and crying out and telling him how bad things are. No, sometimes he just wants you to come and say, here I am, Father. Here I am. I just want to listen to you today. I just want you to talk to me and just be quiet in his presence. Oh, you'll come away so invigorated. You'll come away with new ideas and sometimes insights and answers to things that you've been pondering a long time. Yes. All right. Somebody said, oh, I didn't know that, Dr. Wilder. Well, that's why Dr. Wilder is here, to give you some of those insights that we've been missing. Yes, and that's a big one. I remember, yep, learning that on my own, that sometimes, I don't mean on my own in my own smart. I remember hearing that spoken. I remember another teaching that I heard it, and I had been doing it, but I was beating myself up. I was thinking, oh, you're not doing anything. You're just being quiet, you know, and listening before the Lord, but that's not anything. That's not prayer. You're fooling yourself. And then I heard somebody else teach it. And they were saying, there are times that I just go, and that's what I do. I just say, Father, here I am. Here is your daughter. Here's your son. And so I said, oh, thank you, God, for making that clear to me. In other words, again, he likes fellowshipping with us, all right, for us to just listen to him sometimes, okay? So anyway, the scripture goes on. And it tells us to resist him, the devil, resist him, okay? Steadfast in the faith, steadfast. I mean, don't waver one minute and the next wind, the next thing that comes up, the next thought, the next invite that comes up that you're off and running in that direction. No, he says steadfast in the faith, meaning, hey, you've got the word of God in you. You've got the promises of God in you, that you have to keep using it. You have to keep speaking it. Speak the word, declare the word, proclaim the word. Don't get over in pleading and all of that. Hey, that's not going to get us anywhere. Don't get off in just crying and yelling and screaming. Hey, we got to speak the word. Yes, didn't Jesus do it? Hey, when the devil attacked him out there in the wilderness, yes, in Matthew 4, is it? Yes. When the devil tempted Jesus out in the wilderness, and he kept saying to him, I'll give you this if you do that. I'll do this if you do that. Jesus kept saying, it is written. When you say, what do you mean by it is written? He meant he was speaking the word of God. This is what the word of God says, okay? And so that's what we have to do. Yes, resist the devil. You're saying, well, how is this talking about with the problem staying focused? I'm talking to you. That's exactly what I'm talking to you about. We have problems staying focused because of an enemy that presents himself in so many ways. All right? He presents himself. Okay. As this goes on to say, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. In other words, again, no matter what comes our way, hey, we're not, it's not new to us. It's not new in the world. It might be the first time we've experienced it, but it's not new, okay? Somebody else you know, somebody else around about us, many somebody else's, okay, throughout the same things, because the devil has been around all the time. He's been around a long, long time trying to tempt us and trying to pull us away from the blessings of God. Yes, anything that God has said to us, he doesn't want us to experience them. So, all right, then. This thing you said, you had a reason for wanting to bring this topic today. Yeah, I do, because I've been pondering it. I've been pondering it, okay? We all need to ponder it. We need to pay attention. Why haven't we walked on in the blessing that God has promised? Why haven't we laid hold of the things that God said he wanted to give us and he's willing to give us? He so longs to give us. Well, many times he's given us some direction. He's given us to know what we should do, which way to go, what to do now, when to do such and such. And we start out well. Hey, we're excited when we hear the word, excited when the promise comes to us. We're excited when we read it and say, oh, that is so exciting. And remember, whenever you read the word, on the one hand, he makes that promise, and then on the other hand, it says, if you, okay, or something on that order. If you do such and such, the Bible says, if we be willing and obedient. In other words, hey, I'm willing, God. I want that. I want you to do that for me. I want that blessing, okay? But he said, now you got to obey, obey, obey the instructions I give you to get there. Oh, I like that. Obey the instructions I give you to get there. You've got to obey. And it's in that obedience that we end up having the trouble. That's the part here. We have to stay focused because we have an enemy that wants to pull us off track, from keep us from getting to the goal, getting to the destination, getting to that goal post where the promise is waiting for us. Oh, I love it. I love that. My God, thank you, God. Yeah, we do. Yes, we do. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your position. And in fact, if we let positions get in our way, we focus on positions and names and accolades, we are setting ourselves up truly, truly, truly for the devil. All right? So look, I've been pondering this for a while, the idea of staying focused, okay, and recognizing how easy it is for us to be distracted, how easy it is. In one place in Galatians, another book of the Bible, Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 through 15, it talks about Paul is talking to the believers, and he said, you did run well, but who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? I'm not going to read all of it, but that's enough right there, that there are times we start off doing well. We heard what the Lord started off, and, oh, I'm going to make that goal. I'm going all the way. I'm going to do this. And before we know it, hey, there's a distraction. A problem comes up, a problem that keeps us from staying focused. Yes, yes. And so, yeah, we can be well down the road. We could have overcome a number of hurdles. But still, if we don't stay, that's why we talk about staying focused, okay? Not just for a moment, but ongoing, that we walk into the fulfillment of the promise. Remember our text today? Be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about. Walks. That word has an S on it. Means continuous. He's not just walking, making one path and saying, oh, I'm defeated over here. They put the word on me. Oh, my God. So I'm going to go on back and I'm going to lay down and I'm not going to come and try that again. No. He said he walks about like a roaring lion, prowling, going back and forth, hiding in the bushes, around the corner, seeking another way to come. That way fails. But he doesn't go away defeated. He just look around the corner and see, what else? What other way can I come? What else? Are they speaking negativity? Are they speaking defeat? Hey, that's the way for me to get in right there. Oh, that gives me legal access to them right there. They're not speaking the word of God. They're speaking defeat. They're speaking, hey, my God, disbelief. They're not staying in faith, okay? That's the devil. That's the devil, all right? But he said, resist them. Resist them. Now, come on, we're talking about these problems. We're talking about things that get in the way, things that stop us from continuing to run, continuing to stay on target, continuing to stay focused. And I keep wanting to just say tunnel vision, that we put on tunnel vision. You know about tunnel vision. Yes, meaning just that I don't see on the other side. It's like having those pads around our eyes on the side of our faces, whatever. Well, we can't see out of our side eye. We can't see out of our peripheral vision. All we can see is straight ahead. That's what we have to get, that tunnel vision. I'm not going to see what's coming up on the left. I'm not going to see what's coming up on the right. I'm just keeping my eyes on the prize. I'm keeping my eyes on the goal. I'm keeping my eyes on the finish line. My God, my God. That's staying focused. Yes. So some of the things that get in our way. What did I say? My topic, problems. What problems stay in focus? What problems keep us from staying focused? Well, one, hey, I'm still in the word. Cares of life. Cares of life. Cares of life. I know you need to write today, or you need to definitely go back and get the scripture text. Yes. Okay, Mark 4:19 says, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So, yes, what are you saying? It says that God can make us a promise. The Bible, we talked about it, I think, last week, that there are over 7,000 promises in the Bible. And so we can get them by just reading them and lay hold of them, knowing that they are for us as children of God. And sometimes God speaks a word directly to us. That's for us at the moment, okay, to encourage our hearts. Remember, that's what prophecy is. It comes. It's a word that is from the Lord. It's a word of encouragement, exhortation. Oh, my God. And to edify us. Yes, in other words, stay on track. Be encouraged. Look like you're about to fall down. Look like you want to give up. But the Lord's a word to you by way of prophecy, which is to edify, to exhort, and to comfort you. Okay? In other words, bring you back on track. Give you that joy, 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 joy again. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And many times we're falling short. We're becoming weakened by so many things that come against us. And the Lord sends a word for us to be strengthened again, to be confident. So he says, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, that's one of the things, okay, that stops us, gets us off target. The deceitfulness of riches. In other words, hey, I'm striving after riches. I'm not going to church anymore, hey, because I got this opportunity to work all this overtime, and oh, I'm going to be able to have this big bank account. And all of that, the deceitfulness of riches. But we found out, even lately, we found out more. Hey, you can have a great bank account, and it can be gone in an instant. Yes, one illness or one situation in life can wipe us out. Riches, hey, they're fleeting, okay? I know on TV they're talking about putting gold in your portfolio. Why do they say that? They want gold. Yeah, because they say that when the value of the dollar goes down, the gold holds its value. In fact, not only does it hold, most times it grows in value. All right? So, anyway, these things fleet away, all right? We can't put our whole trust in them. I didn't say you're not supposed to save. I didn't say you're not supposed to make plans. I didn't say that. It's a matter of priority. That's what's important. Yes, you heard me. That's the problem. So somebody say, I'm torn. I don't know what to do here. You know, I know I should save. They tell me I should save. But yet I keep hearing about, hey, this could be sinful. No, it's the priority that you put on it. If you put it before God and you withhold what belongs to God, that's when it's a problem. Okay? What belongs to God, Dr. Wilder? 10%? Whatever you make, whatever comes in your hands, that you give 10% to God, his work, to your church, wherever it may be that you're being fed, that you're supposed to give 10% because all of it belongs to him, but he only asks us to bring 10%. And guess what? Even when you bring the 10%, he multiplies the 90%. Many times giving you to accomplish more than if you had the whole 100%. But definitely the 90% gets protected. All right? So, hey, that was something for somebody. Oh, what do you say? It's called tithes. I know. I turned somebody else off there. That's okay. That's okay. I'm giving you the word, whether you accept it or not, I'm giving it to you, okay? He said, and the desires for other things. And the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So that thing that God spoke to you, that word that he's given to you, that promise he gave you, okay? We let all these other things, we let what? The cares of the world, the cares all around us, okay? And the deceitfulness of riches, and desires for other things, other than pleasing God, for other things rather than the things that are important to God. Other things that are contrary to the will of God, we let them come in and they choke. They choke out that word that we've heard. They choke out that promise that we received. What it means, choke out? It takes our attention. Let me just put it another way. You know, choke. Oh yeah, you know. Oh, strangle. Can't breathe. But in this case, it's even more so. It just brings our attention away from what God said and the direction he's given us, okay? The focus he told us to have on getting this thing, tunnel vision, it just gives us those pads that we put over the sides of our eyes that have to fall away. We push them back, so and then we start looking to the left and we start looking to the right rather than stand focused on what God said and the direction God has given to us. That's where the problem comes in. So there's number one, one of the reasons, one of the problems that keeps us from staying focused. Number one, cares of life. All right? That was from Mark 4:19. Another one is temptations. Would be temptations, okay? 1 John 2:16. All right? It says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride of life, come not from the Father, but from the world. Remember, I opened up in the beginning saying that the things of the world, hey, they're enmity, they're enemy to God, all right? That's where the devil is working, and that's where his enticement is coming from. That's what he's drawing us off to, looking at the things in the world. The world means all the things that go on around about us, okay? Those everyday things, what friends are doing, and what even strangers are doing. In other words, okay, those things away from the direction of the Lord. So the scripture here is telling it simply, temptations, okay? Those temptations for all that is in the world, all those things, the lust of the flesh, okay? The lust of the eyes, pride of life. In other words, hey, that one has a better house than me. That one has a newer than me. Or, you know, in other words, start looking at what other people have. And then all of a sudden, we want to keep up with the Joneses. We know that, you know that term. Yeah, you know that term. Yeah, you know, meaning I got to have what they have. I got to have what my neighbor has. I got to have what my girlfriend has. I got to have what my friend over there has. You know, hey, that's what it means. That even though you can't afford it, it may not even be what you really, really want. But jealousy and envy rises up in you, and you're feeling like you've got to stay on the same par as that other person. That's keeping up with the Joneses. They get a new car, you get a new car. They get a new house, you got to get a new house. All those things, that's keeping up with the Joneses. That's the lust of the flesh. In other words, that outward longing and desiring, it's not what God would have us necessarily, but it's what we lean towards, okay? So those temptations, that's another thing, that's another problem in staying focused for it to be manifested in our lives. These are things that get in the way of us actually walking in that promise. Another one is the fear of losing possession. Yep, yep. Fear, fear. We know fear. Fear is major. Fear grips us. Fear paralyzes. Fear does cause us to lose focus, all right? And we find a good example of that, great examples of that in the book of Job, chapter 1, first of all right? I mean, the devil himself, remember, the devil himself says, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now, focus away. First, a statement of truth, okay? But now this is to distract him, to pull him away from his focus, the focus, okay? This is the problem. But he says, but now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. All right? See, that's the problem. Here's the enemy. Like I said, the enemy trying to distract you, and therefore that's what he's saying to God. Okay, this is, hey, have this distraction to come in his life, and see, won't he curse you? And the Bible says, goes on to tell us that Job withstood this test. Yeah. Many things happened to him. Go back and read Job, the first chapter. Come on, go back and read. I don't have time to tell you everything, but I point you to the text, so go and read it. So the Bible says that Job withstood the test. The Lord, cursing God, he worshiped God. So in other words, he stayed focused. He didn't let the loss of his possessions, he didn't let the loss of even his children, he didn't let the loss of his servants, he didn't let the loss of any of that pull him away. But listen, remember our text, the enemy is prowling around. Stay sober, stay vigilant. Why? Because your enemy is prowling. He's looking, and he's like a lion. In other words, he's not going to go away. He's constantly trying to figure out, how am I going to get you? How that way failed, okay? You managed to know that I was there, so you skidded away, okay? But you skipped away. So let me see another way to come, all right? So the devil is no different. He said it there. The scripture said it. He's like a roaring lion. He's like that. So what? He went away. The other thing, he came back with the threat of losing life. That's another hindrance that changes our focus. I lost this, I lost that, but I got my health. As long as I got my health, oh, it is well. I can get those things back, and we're right, okay? But the devil comes. He doesn't play fair. No, he doesn't play fair. He comes and he said to the Lord, skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has will he give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. All right? So that's another temptation. That's another hindrance. That's another thing, a problem. That, hey, when all else passes away, we get an example here. We can start seeing this. And that other things can fall apart, and we can still be holding on firm. But then when our bodies get touched, oh, my God, nothing's worse than pain. Yes, pain, pain, pain. It draws all of our attention to that focus point. We do everything. Well, hey, that's not a criticism. We all do that. We do it. But you know what I find funny, and I've pulled back, not funny, not hee-hee funny, but I've been noticing, and I've become more careful about this. Songs, we sing this, oh, I can hardly wait to get to heaven. Oh, and all those things, okay? I can hardly wait to cross over. And we're lying. I want you to pay attention to those kind of songs you're singing. You're not in a hurry to get there. We thank God for the picture, and we thank God for the promise of when we cross over, what's going to be waiting for us. But you're not in a hurry. And you say, why would you say that, Dr. Wells? I say, pay attention. The minute we get sick, the minute some illness, we get diagnosed with a negative a diagnosis. What do? All of our attention end up running, spending money, and everything to get well. Yes, we do. So if we were in such a hurry to get over the glory land, if we were in a hurry to cross over, why are we doing that? I'm not criticizing doing it. Believe me, I am not criticizing. I'm simply saying, let's make sure we're speaking the right thing. Let's make sure we're speaking truth. Let's make sure we're singing truth, okay? Some of those songs we need to get rid of because we are not telling the truth, okay? So that's another problem, another thing that keeps us from staying focused, okay? The threat of losing our life, okay? And notice the process here. What the devil was saying to God, okay, you're going to take away stuff, and they might still stand strong, but touch their bodies. So this is, encourages me. Knowing the scripture encourages me, you know, because I'm saying, okay, I must be standing the test. I must be doing pretty well. That now, okay, the enemy's going to come against my body, which means the same thing I used to fight him in those other areas, I got to go in for more, press in the more, to use that those same scriptures, to use the same things that I did before to come past this as well, because this can only, it may be a test. It's probably a test. Pull away from staying focused on what God has said and his promise. All right? That's the word for somebody today. Come on. We got to stand fast. Keep speaking God's word. Jesus died. Jesus shed his blood. Jesus bore stripes on his back for our healing. And that's what we want to still keep doing. Stand focused. God, you said, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Oh, my God. You've already given me everything that pertains to life and godliness. Healing is mine. You shed your blood for everything that I need, for my peace, for my restoration. You shed your blood for this. Give me back the authority to speak your word. Oh, my God, the authority to lay hands on the sick. You did all of that. That's speaking the word. That's what Jesus did. He spoke the word. And we have to, no matter what the test, no matter what has come against us, we got to speak the word. We got to stay focused on what God said, on the promises of God, on what God has promised us. There's going to be hindrances. There's going to be things to come to sidetrack us, to pull us away. But we got to stay focused, all right? So another one, the fear of abandonment. Still in the book of Job, look at this, huh? Job was an upright man. Job was one that really feared God, that worked righteousness in his own, okay? Worked righteousness, in love, or other words, he loved the Lord, okay? And so there was a major target came against him to get him away from focusing on trusting in God. And we can take, we are in the New Testament, okay? And so we have the word of God, but we have this example written for us that we can draw on for our teaching, our instructions in righteousness, all right? So as we look at here, just the devil didn't change. No, he hasn't changed either. In fact, the Bible says, the one thing about it, in other words, he didn't go away. The Bible says that in these times that we're in, as time gets closer toward the end, he's picking up his efforts. He's doing more and more to get us, to draw us, to destroy us, to overtake us. All right? So, no, he didn't back away. He didn't become weakened. The only way he's going to come weak is when we use the word of God. We stay focused. We stay in faith. Praise God. So now comes that fear of abandonment. What are you saying, Dr. Wilder? I said the cares of life is a problem. It gets in the way. All of a sudden, we worried about what's going to happen to things. Temptations are looking at the wrong things, looking in the wrong way. Fear of losing possession. Oh, my God. Oh, they're going to take my car, and this and that is going to happen. All right? The threat of losing life, we know that's major. I don't know whether it should have been at the top of my list or at the bottom of my list to reiterate, but I'm reiterating it right where it is. The threat of losing life, yes. And then the fear of abandonment. I know this one probably should have come much earlier, all right? But in Job 2 and 9, it says after these things had happened, and Job, after his body was afflicted, okay, had lost everything, his body afflicted, then comes his wife, the one that's supposed to stand with him, the one that's supposed to keep the focus, the one that's supposed to help him stay focused. And when his faith was getting weary, she would speak a word to encourage him. That's what she should have been doing, to speak a word. Job, don't you remember? Don't you know God is faithful? Don't you know God's not going to leave us? Don't you know God is a restorer of everything, and he'll fight our battles? Don't you know it, Job? That's what she should have been doing, but instead, she said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? So she asked him this piercing question. Do you still hold fast to your faith? Do you still hold fast to trust in God? And she said, then this was her solution and her suggestion, curse God and die. Oh, my God. Ooh, that's not a help me. No, that wasn't a real help me. No. All right? So, listen, I just named five different hindrances, five different problems that occur in our lives that keep us from staying focused. I just gave you five. But, you know, I think everything else in life will come into those somehow. You say, Sam, again, Dr. Wilder, I will. First of all, the cares of life, Mark 4:19, temptations, 1 John 2:16, the fear of losing possessions. We start off in Job 1, all right? And then the threat of losing life. We're still in Job chapter 2, the fear of abandonment. Job chapter 2, verse 9, okay? So all of those are just some examples and some of the problems that keep us from staying focused. I'd like to go back and deal with them more, but I can't. I don't have time. But definitely go back there and look at them. Okay, look at those parables in Mark. Look at those parables, the cares of life. They're the simplest one, I believe, to draw us away quickly. All of a sudden, you know, all these things just come up so casually, that we are not aware. If we are not staying focused, they'll get us. They'll overtake us, all right? They seem innocent. And many times we even like to say, oh, look at God is blessing me. Oh, he's giving me overtime. But the overtime is taking you away from worship. It's taking you away from your church service. It's taking you from the prayer meeting. How can that be God? That's the conflict. That's contrary. Oh, so we got to be careful. We got to be careful, all right? And then what did I say? The fear of abandonment. Then we know that one is so big. That fear of people walking away from us. Fear of people not wanting to be friends with us. Fear of people saying, I won't go with you any further. Are all those things that we have such a big problem in our land today. Well, you see, let me tell you more. I just keep my mind on the fact that how Jesus, who could have been tempted more than Jesus? Who could have been tempted to get his eyes off the prize and off of where he was going other than Jesus? Hey, so that's the big picture. If we just think on Jesus, he stayed focused no matter how people came against him, no matter how the lies and the accusations and all of that, he stayed focused. The Bible says so. He stayed focused because there was a prize that was waiting. Praise God. And that was us. That was us, okay? And so as I close today, I'm closing with another scripture, Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 2, okay? It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, okay? Look into Jesus. Look into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay? So if we're looking for an example, we're looking who could stand and how we could stand, let's look to Jesus. Let's read over there in the Gospels how Jesus withstood everything that came against him because his focus was going to Calvary. His focus was shedding his blood. His focus was to die to provide a way of escape from the enemy for us. For us. That was his focus. That's what he came to do, and he stayed focused. He didn't let people want to give him accolades. He didn't let people's accusations. He didn't let people's lies. He didn't let people's misuse, so to speak, okay? In other words, coming for one thing rather than what he really had to offer. They just came for the goodies, okay? As the Bible says, it came for the fishes and the loaves and just even rejected his ability to heal and all, okay? But he didn't let that stop him from going to all the way to the cross for us, for dying, for shedding his blood, for taking on the stripes, for being abused, for ridicule, and all of that. He didn't let any of that pull him away from doing what he came to do, okay? that now we can say we have a right to the tree of life, and that we can come just saying, Lord Jesus, come into my life, okay, and that we will become a child of God, that we would have received the finished work of Jesus Christ. We would have accepted what he did for us. Hey, he stayed focused. He stayed focused. He went through all of these things that I outlined and more, but he stayed focused. So our word today, once again, problems of staying focused. I just named some of the problems of staying focused from keeping our eyes on the promise, keeping our eyes on what God has said. That's my word for today, and I pray that you've been blessed and you've been encouraged. Come on, let's get back on target. Let's stay focused, all right? Tunnel vision. Stay on track for what God said rather than the things that's going on around about us. This has been Dr. Annie B. Wilder coming on the Dr. Annie B. Wilder Show. Stand to you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining me today. I pray you're blessed. I pray you'll continue to be blessed. All right, until the next time, blessings, blessings, blessings.